Hello, welcome everyone. I always hate that kind of intro. Welcome to the podcast. Hey, welcome everyone. Welcome back to another episode.
Welcome back to another episode.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're not here. Why am I welcoming you? You just turned it on in your car.
What's the appropriate saying?
Everyone, I know you've been missing Sundi Marcourt, and she is here. She's not on this podcast, by the way, but she's like across the table, so you can act like you're here. Oh my gosh. I am really excited for this one because, well, this episode is for all the people. This is for the job seeker. This is for the person starting or growing a business. This is for the person who is trying to figure themselves out and what they want in life. And it's really all about the magic bullet thing that it's really the key to all of those endeavors. And we call it curious conversations. We've talked about this idea before. But it's really this counterintuitive idea that for all those different types of people, you probably feel some version of stuckness because you have to get out there and network and find opportunities and make things happen and figure things out. And what's counterintuitive about it is we tend to try and take that on ourselves. We're like, okay, I got to go make this happen. I got to try harder. I got to do more reps. And what's actually true is you don't really have to do much of that at all. What you have to do is have conversations with people who help you find your way. But the key is being clear about what you're looking for in those conversations. So that's the piece that we're going to talk about today. I have my good friend Chris Payne on, and we talk about not just this topic abstractly, but he is in the middle of a job search and also has a side business. And so we talk about it from his current experience, how he's currently feeling as a generalist, as a creative, as a people helper, where it's really hard to explain what you do to people. And therefore, things like a job search are really tricky. How do you explain what role you're looking for when you could probably play one of five different roles? And that is a common challenge that we coach people through at Greenhouse, because it's true. It's really tricky. And you have to get clear on what is it that you do, even if it's multiple buckets. So I think the theme here today is kind of is this idea of action brings clarity. You got to take the steps forward to have conversations and to clarify how you're talking about yourself and what you're asking for in those conversations. And so a little bit about Chris. He is a digital marketer and a brand builder. He had a video communication business, and that's I kind of met him at the intersection of that business, hiring him to do some work when I was working on culture things at Capital One, as well as through music. He's also a musician, and we've played music together in the past. But it was a fun friendship and working relationship where it led to him working with me at Capital One on culture transformation. So we began to do that work together. And since then, he's done a number of things in terms of communications and team culture and leadership coaching. So we have a lot of shared passions and interests. I think Chris is a very wise and very authentic person. People love being around him. He just has such a great presence about him. And so I love that he's willing to share from his current in the moment journey of what it's feeling like and what's working and not. So here's my conversation with Chris Payne. Where have you been at lately in your, because you're going through transition of what's next with work and all the things.
I don't know.
That's what we're here to talk about.
That's my headline, you know. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up.
Should this be a coaching session instead of a podcast?
Let's just get down to brass tacks. I think the people would really appreciate that.
Yeah.
The listeners.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, here's the thing I wanted to talk about. And I almost want you to like say what your experience has been lately, even if it's like disagreeing with this or agreeing or what's worked or not, is that I notice over and over in coaching, in career transitions, people immediately go to like resume, LinkedIn, you know, these like obvious touch points, like that's what I need to do. Or people will contact us and be like, okay, I need help with my updating my cover letter. And that's fine. And that stuff's necessary. But what we've noticed over and over on the coach side of it is it's not about the resume or the cover letter or the LinkedIn or the LinkedIn posts, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's actually about the conversations with other people. Now, I've talked about that before on the podcast, and I think what I'm realizing these past few weeks is people get that. Like, I think a lot of people understand networking is important and all that. But what the hang up is that I hadn't necessarily put my finger on before is the fears around the conversations. The, I don't want to bother people. I don't want to look awkward. I don't want to be exposed. I don't want to, the internal part of it is more the hang up than the knowledge that networking is important.
Yep.
Cause I think there's all those sayings like it's about who you know, and we all get that to some extent. But so anyway, I just wanted to talk through some of that because a conversation with someone the other day just made me realize how common of a hang up this is for people.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, just for the context, I've been in a career transition for several months, and I think the process for me, sort of highlighting what you're talking about, is sort of the first thing my mind went to is like budget.
Okay.
Right. Uh-huh. Like, you know, I'm fortunate that I have a spouse who works. We have saved money, like, so I get to, I'm afforded a little bit of time to like think about what's next, right? Uh-huh. And then I went crazy on LinkedIn, like you said, right?
what does that mean?
Like, you know, I probably re-edited my LinkedIn profile and changed the picture of the banner, like, 80 times.
Rethought the second word in the sentence
every
night for 2 months.
That's right.
Yeah.
And part of that too is, and we could, you know, talk about this, but I have a real generalist background. And so LinkedIn is just hard for me in general.
Right? Oh my gosh.
To have this like one page that explains all the things that make up my experience, my career experience.
Plus you happen to be savvy with like just websites and content. And so, you know, that people are actually reading the first phrase.
That's right.
So that somehow the first phrase has to say the perfect right thing.
That's right.
Well, we will come back to that anyway.
Yeah. And sort of like the networking thing, I would say I want to pick out one thing that you said was the exposed feeling. Because I'm pretty outgoing and I don't mind striking up a conversation with old friends, people maybe I haven't talked to in a while, or just sort of cold calling people on LinkedIn or cold messaging them. I think I'm affable enough to get away with it, maybe, right? But I think the sticking point for me is feeling like, oh, like, I've never been in this category before of someone who's like, in a job transition, and I'm currently out of work looking for work. Right.
Which, by the way, there more than any time in recent history, there's more people who are, in that place for the first time, meaning like, call it like right out of school. They had something and they've had something since.
Yep.
And now maybe they got laid off or some kind of forced or chosen transition that has them for the first time looking, but they're experiencing that for the first time as a full grown adult.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then you have in your head like, oh, it's easier to find a new job when you have a job. You know, there's like all these colloquialisms that
do I have to look like I'm actually good, but so I have leverage or
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the super positive spin on this?
Yeah.
But I think you gave me a statistic around like a really high percentage of jobs are landed through networking and people that you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just part of the season and the mentality and the mindset is like these things, like what's kind of like the thing you're going to believe today? Uh-huh. and that can really dictate like, your mindset around having these conversations or like what you kind of set your agenda as.
You and I have this in common at different points in our life, but like you've had a business before that you ran, you've had a corporate job, you've had a hybrid of those, mm-hmm. and same here. And so I think that what stands out to me is how similar this, like the phase you're in, how similar it is to trying to grow a business and find work, mm-hmm. and how it's, you face a lot of those same insecurities emotionally, but the conversations and the people connections are what tend to grow these kind of businesses the most.
That's right. Yeah. That's so interesting.
And so, yeah. It's what's really interesting to me is like right now there seems to be a lot of people who are dabbling with both. Maybe they have a job and they're also starting a side thing.
Yep.
Or maybe they already had a business, but they're also getting a stable job or in transition between the two. And so they're facing the same problem on both fronts at the same time.
Yep. Yeah. And it sort of takes the same skill or the same practice of the skill. And maybe that's why, you know, I said I'm pretty outgoing, but I also have a little bit of practice of just like having that curiosity around like, oh, like, hey, Steve, like, what's going on with you? Like, what's going on with your business?
Yeah.
Like, is there anything that I can help you with? Uh-huh. Right. So it is almost for me, the same conversation around, can I help you with X, Y, or Z? And do you want to do that on a contract basis? Or do you want to like, you know, hire me and give me benefits and all that stuff? But you're right. It's like the same mentality, but also comes with the same hangups.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and the curiosity is one of the keys because even on the business side, you know, the job, like being in job transition might be a little more emotionally hijacking or fearful than trying to grow a business. But on the business side, you have the same fear of, I think that this conversation with this person has to immediately lead to work.
That's right. The pressure.
The pressure you put on yourself.
Yep.
That same thing shows up in the job, like networking side of things. You know, we always call it curious conversations because the curiosity piece is what fixes that.
Yep.
I feel like, okay, I'm meeting with you, Chris. And so this meeting must generate like an immediate job connection when actually the reality is it's usually like 6 degrees of separation. My conversation with you leads me to someone, you know, leads me to someone they know, leads me to someone they know, which leads to a job.
Yep.
And I found myself sharing this with a lot of people lately because I think if you can internalize that the person in front of me is not necessarily my connection to the work, it can relieve a lot of the pressure you're putting on yourself.
Yep.
And a lot of those fears can subside. Like,
yep.
No, actually this can just be a human conversation where I'm not cloaking what I'm looking for. I'm very directly sharing, like, this is what I'm looking
That's
for.
That's right,
But I'm not looking for it from you necessarily. I'm just trying to make connections that might lead me to the right thing.
Well, there's like a two-sided coin, I think. Part of it is if you can manage to take the pressure off the situation, you actually show up more as yourself, right?
Yeah.
Because I think the thing that you would want to, like as a person you might want me, like the person you want to work on your team is the not so stressed about one tiny conversation version of Chris.
Right.
And you know, all these other, like the brain functions you can have when you're at ease, right?
Yeah.
So like taking that pressure off the conversation automatically puts you in a better position to represent yourself.
Yeah.
But the other side of the coin though, and I'd be interested to see what you think is like, there are some sort of like pre-assigned motives on the other side. Right. Cause I definitely have been in conversations where like, hey, I just like want to know like what's going on with you and your team at your XYZ company. And like the first thing I get back is like, sorry, man, we're not hiring. Like,
exactly.
I don't have a job for you.
Yeah.
So it does create a interesting needle to thread.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And then like, I've also had the experience where, there's a job that has very interesting work in the job description. But I might have too many years of experience or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I've definitely felt like there's another preassigned motive to like, well, why are you asking about this job? Right. If you've been doing this for 15 years.
Or yeah. Has that been difficult when you encounter those other pre-assigned motives?
Well, it's hard for me, like in a non-stressful way to reroute those conversations around, what is the problem you're trying to solve? Yeah. And like, can my experience help you solve that problem? Because I'm talking to you because I find what your team or what this role does interesting.
Yeah.
So
can I share my point of view on that? But have you like be honest and react how like you're living it right now. So you might have a clearer view on how it really feels to do it. Okay. So one of the things I've been coaching people a lot on is to get really clear up front with their intentions. Mm. Because if the conversation is unclear why we're here or what you're looking for, then the reason I might do pre-assigned motives is because I'm also operating in that weird stressed mode of not being able to be myself.
Right.
And it helps me to know like what exactly are you looking for as the seeker person?
Yep.
Now, I'll say caveat though is I was talking to a guy, Damien, the other day who was like, cool, I want to do that. I want to be clear with my intentions and why we're having this coffee meetup or this interview. Problem is he doesn't know how to clearly articulate what he's looking for. And so that's actually the first work for him.
Yep.
And this is true. You mentioned generalists. I think this is the common challenge for generalists.
Yep.
We want to be clear about our intentions, but we aren't sure how to articulate that. So then in the meeting, it becomes muddy.
Yeah.
On accident.
Yeah.
So what I was telling him, and I'll kind of lay it out more explicitly at the end of this episode, what I told him to do, but I was like, first, let's articulate the things you do. And if you do multiple, just say them separately.
Yep.
And then when you're reaching out to people or getting to meetings, just start with that and say, all right, here's what I'm looking to do.
Yep.
Here are the things that I do.
Yep.
And this is why we're talking, because that's actually really honest and freeing to put that on the table. And then you can, without the pressure, talk about, just have the normal conversation. And it might free them up if the other person is feeling like they're on the pre-assigned agenda. Now they can relax a bit because they know why we're here and they don't have to have their defenses up. Hey, man, we're not hiring right now.
Yeah,
it's like, no, I wasn't asking for a job.
Yes,
but they had to do that because they felt attacked with an ask.
yes, an unemployed friend or contact or whatever.
So I'm not saying that. I'm curious your reaction to that as someone who's living in that right now and having different conversations.
Yeah. I mean, I think the single best thing that I've done so far, there still needs to be a little follow-up to this, but it was a post on LinkedIn, but it took me a few months to state the three things that I'm looking to do, right?
Yeah.
And like the three components of the job that I want in my next role, right? What are they?
Can you share? It might help.
It might not. If you look at my LinkedIn, it might not be verbatim, but but something that's brand strategy, marketing strategy, or like culture focused communications, right?
Okay.
So like if it's going to be like internal communications role, I'd love for it to be sort of like human centered, associate back, because you can get into like. You can get into like PR and and all that stuff. And so it took me a long time just to be able to like say those three things. And that could be a whole podcast about generalists, I think.
Yep.
Shout out to all the generalists out there. But it took me a little while and I knew that I needed to create an email like that or a list like that or a post like that. And then a friend of mine, Alex, was like, hey, like you just need to do it. And so like the next week is, you know what I mean? It's so,
Alex. yeah. That's interesting though. How he's like that kind of prompt from somebody. Yeah.
And, he's been a great friend through the whole thing. And he's like, just send me the three things, you know? And I'm like,
which forced you to articulate them.
Yeah.
Cause that was helpful to even hear you say them right there.
Yeah.
It gives people an example of they are three separate things.
Yeah.
Each one of those could be a job in and of itself. You have done all of them and can do any and are interested in all three. So instead of mashing it into one, like, I kind of do a little brand and strategy and marketing, and then I have no idea what you do.
Yeah.
You just clearly set them as three different buckets.
Yeah.
Which, funny enough, that is brand strategy right there. Yeah, too.
Right.
But I think it's hard to do it on ourselves.
Yeah, your own architecture.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so I think that with that, I've been able to have clearer conversations or just like set those intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it works both ways. It does also help me really think about reaching out to the right people, right? Because mm-hmm. there are some like old contacts that, you know, I've been working with, like doing video editing work,
yeah.
right? So just to add more to the pile, I picked up some video editing work recently.
Yeah.
And that's not really what I want to do full time going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like,
well, okay, but this brings up another part of it, which is people want to help, but you need to prompt them.
Right.
So here's my thought on it. If you, another fear that I've had and I've heard from people is I don't want to like burden people and ask them for help. Mm-hmm. So that keeps me from these conversations.
Yeah.
And I think the reality most of the time is most people do want to help, but they need some prompting and they need some guidance. So like if the current version of your pitch, if you gave it to me as a mashed up thing, like I said, like, oh, I do a little strategy and culture yeah. and you know,
yeah.
I would be like, cool, I'd love to help you. I don't know how, but your three buckets actually help my brain to go like, ooh, I know someone in brand strategy.
Yep.
Let me connect you with them.
Yep.
So A, like giving clear buckets helps my brain to help you.
Mm-hmm.
But B, you might even have to, at the end of the conversation, say like, so anyway, is there anyone you could connect me with?
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas for me?
Yeah.
Because then that prompt, I don't know, it's just funny to me, like human nature. A lot of us, we just need the prompt. We need the ask. We need the call to action.
Mm-hmm.
And any marketer knows that. But like, to your point, you're now marketing yourself.
Yeah.
So you need to make the call to action.
Yes.
It's funny how even just right now, sitting here talking about this, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm thinking of some people I might connect you with.
Yeah.
Because of the clarity of it.
Yeah. And I think to go back on what I said a little earlier, it was like even networking and having curious conversations with like people who are doing video production could lead to that, those 6 degrees True. Of separation.
Mm-hmm.
So don't want to throw that out completely.
Mm-hmm.
But also just having it very clear. You know, sort of the three things that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Is really helpful
yeah.
because they're sort of in the ecosystem, right? So.
Yeah. I'm just curious, like, what are you learning so far from this process the most?
Well, it definitely feels like a cobbler's kids have no shoes kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like I have, done the type of work we've been describing
mm-hmm.
for a lot of different companies
yeah.
and a lot of different people
for a long time
and for quite some time, but it has taken me a while to sort of turn that towards myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would say, like I'm, like I said, pretty easy going on. Like I don't have a lot of nerves around striking up the conversations.
Yeah.
Right. But the side of like being clear,
yeah.
And what the expectations are,
yeah.
you know, and I have run into some of those conversations where it's sort of like, what are we doing? I'm like, no, I don't have anything for you.
we don't have job openings.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's so funny to me. Cause I know the exact scenario you're talking
yeah.
about and that's not at all your intention. You're not asking for a job, but how quickly people, it's, they went there because they are trying to decipher what's the agenda here?
Yeah.
It's like hilarious how recently we had a conversation about your kind of in between job status. And I think it was actually the next day you walked in the room and helped me talk through. We were talking about brand strategy for Greenhouse and how we're having the exact same problem
mm-hmm.
where we do multiple things. We're trying to mash it together and
yep.
people don't understand what we do.
Yep.
So let's separate it into buckets. But I feel in a similar way, I feel that pain at like, parties and get together, like when I'm meeting someone, they're like, oh, what do you do?
Yeah.
And I just struggle to explain greenhouse because I'm tripping over those different buckets.
Yeah.
And how to say it clearly. Yep. And you can see the wheels turning in their head. They're trying to think of like, are there ways I could help your business? But I'm not quite sure what you guys do yet. Could you just like, could you give it to me clearer, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah. And like all of, and if you think about all the people that you've helped clarify their sort of life mission, it's career goals and like all
painfully
that.
Painfully ironic.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, I haven't thought about the point today that you made about how similar the mindset is around clarity and curiosity.
It's like, all about that. I mean, the classic example, you and I have heard this in so many workshop settings, like, go around and introduce what you do. Mm-hmm. And the generalists in the room will always say something like this. Well, I'm Steve. I mean, I just do a little of everything around here.
Yeah.
And everyone giggles.
Yeah.
Well, Damien, who's one of those people that I was talking about, we were working through the buckets the other day. And listen to this. This was fascinating to me because he was I do a little of everything. Uh-huh. And he actually can. Like, you could probably hire him into any generalist job and he'll crush it.
Yeah.
But I was struggling to, my brain was struggling to like put him in the box at all of like what he does and where I could connect him. Mm-hmm. So we were working through the buckets and here were his 3/4. So he goes, okay, I got him. Teacher or facilitator, because he used to teach kids. Mm. Client management / building relationship building, because he's done that for a business. 3 is technical business operations, because his wife has a business and he has helped stand up the infrastructure for it and likes that. Mm-hmm. And then I asked, yeah, but like, what would your dream thing be? And he goes, well, my real vision and dream is to help young people through life transitions and kind of be a coach or a mentor to them.
Yeah.
Okay. I instantly had like 10 people I wanted to introduce him to.
Yeah.
Because I can think of teacher facilitator opportunities, client management opportunities, technical biz opportunities. And then, oh, good thing I asked about the 4th. Cause like, holy crap, that's what you really want to do. And I happen to know a whole bunch of people in that space.
Yeah.
But before he said those 4 buckets, I had no clue. And I'm a person who's okay with ambiguity and like, I'm a conceptual thinker. I had no clue how to help this guy. I just, that like really stood out to me, I think, because it happened all within the span of an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
but I think that 4th thing is really important.
The 4th piece.
And, talk about my own situation right now. I think that I've been able to articulate the 3 areas of my expertise.
What's your 4?
That 4th thing that sort of ties it all together, I'm still working on a little bit.
Do you have any inkling of what it might be?
I know for sure when I help people succeed on their goals, I feel very happy.
Yeah.
Right. So whether it's like you're looking to hone in your brand and your messaging, or tell a certain story or drive demand, for your business and make some ROI.
Yeah.
The feeling of like succeeding and like the personal, like I see it on somebody's face. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that kind of gets me, up in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so that's still kind of pretty wide, but like the tools that I do that are, the tools in which I can do that are those three buckets of my experience or like what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So still working on it.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if we could, I love this conversation. It feels very honest and real.
Real time.
This is real time, folks. I'm wondering if you could maybe leave list, like anyone who's listened till now probably is resonating with this somehow. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned it earlier, and I know this of you, and when I've been in this season, there is a perseverance element to it. Mm-hmm. You got to keep doing the unfun things for a while.
Yep.
It doesn't always just click immediately. Maybe just could you leave something for those people?
Well, you know, I think it's probably something I need to say to myself as well. But if you are focusing on being genuine and diligent, the good stuff comes. And whether you are in a job and you're looking for a new job that feels like a better situation, or you're temporarily out of work and looking for a new job, I just think that the right things, the good things, don't happen overnight, right? But you have to sort of do the work, right? You have to figure yourself out. You have to give the cobbler's kids some shoes, right? And but I think patience is a big part of it. Because I've been doing some freelance work, while trying to figure out what my three things are. And that's really helped inform, because I didn't get to do all those things in my last corporate job, right? I got to do some of them, or I got to do them in a way that felt oriented just to one sort of team, one brand, and, being able to, you know, having the privilege and the fortunate, being fortunate enough to like do that work, and try different hats back on, has been really great. But I also feel like that's extended my time a little bit, right? But it's sort of part of like doing that good work and being diligent about it, and not just taking it for granted or for nothing. So patience is a big part of it.
Thanks for just kind of sharing some of your story, though.
Yeah.
I think the real time helps.
Yeah.
I always think back to starting Greenhouse, and I listened a lot to that Startup Alex Bloomberg podcast. Best podcast ever.
Those early ones, man.
Because I was in it, and all you heard were success stories after. After the process and
That's
the pain.
That's right.
There was something so helpful about Alex sharing while it was happening. And you heard the argument with his wife that night, and you heard the failed pitch to the investor, and you heard, oh, that was so helpful. I always think of that. Like, it is actually super helpful for someone out there to hear what you said being in the process versus maybe something I said that was like outside of the process. So thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. This conversation was all about the conversation. I think for me, the takeaway and the main place to focus is whatever bucket you fall into, if it's the job search, if it's growing a business, if it's kind of discovering your path and what you want to do next, it's all about the conversations. And the thing about that is you have to have a clear ask. What is it that you're looking for? What is it that we're having? Why are we having this conversation? What do you need help with? And so that comes back to doing a little bit of the pre-work around clarifying what is it that you do? What are your passions and interests? What is it that you're looking for next? What are you looking for help with from this person? Because I think we get scared of these conversations and we think that, oh, it's not working. I've had all these conversations and they haven't gone anywhere. But really, a lot of the time, that's because they do want to help you. They just don't know how to help. And so you have to give them that clarity that helps the dots connect in their brain. That's another fear I hear a lot, is people don't want to bother others. Oh, I don't want to ask them for help, or I don't want to do that outreach because I don't want to bother them. And again, most people love helping. It's just that they don't know how to help you because you're not giving them a clear picture of what is it that you're looking for. So, I mean, this is a place where coaching comes in, by the way. It can be hard to figure that out on your own, especially if you're the generalist or the creative type. And so coaching can really help you clarify what is it that you offer that you're looking for. And then with these conversations, I also hear people get stuck on, oh, but I don't know. I don't want to join networking groups and I hate networking. And the good news is you don't have to network. I mean, that's kind of my point, is it's not about networking. It's not even about the person in front of you that you're talking to. It's about when you share with them, they're going to direct you to the next person or place, which is going to lead to the next person or place and the next one. And 6 degrees of separation later, you found the perfect opportunity. And so sometimes people get stuck like, okay, the person in front of me I'm meeting with, I need to like get the job from them. And I think free yourself of that. You don't have to think of it that way. You're here to share what you're looking for and get their advice on where you should look next or who you should connect with next. And so you want to have that clear ask for them at the end. Who do you think I should talk to next, or what advice do you have for me? So the beauty of all of that is you can start with just 3 or 5 people you know well. You don't have to go talk to strangers because the network effect takes place. So I guess what I'll leave you with is, you know, this is where coaching comes in and really helps. This is actually a very key area of coaching because it's so hard to do on your own. So maybe 3 things. One is there's coaching around getting clear on what you're looking for. Number 2 is making that plan around the curious conversations and how you're going to have them, who you're going to reach out to. Or number 3 is sticking with that process. Sometimes that's the value of coaching, is people struggle to keep going with those steps over time until they get to the results. And so the coaching gives the accountability and the energizing momentum to keep taking the steps.